Thank you, choir. All right, as we come to the Word of God this morning, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works, the activities of the Holy Spirit as we've begun this Pentecost season and the season following Pentecost. And today our scripture comes to us from the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles this morning, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. This morning I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin with verse 20, I think, of chapter 4 and read down through the end of the chapter. And what I want you to pay close attention to this morning is what the scripture has to say about the Holy Spirit. That isn't what you heard about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, God has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the opportunity that you have given to us to gather together in worship. We thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far, and we pray that your Spirit would continue to work among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And Lord, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, to God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might penetrate deeply within our being, that they might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that your words might transform us from the inside out. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we've prayed together, saying amen. Well, I don't know if GPS is the greatest or the worst thing that has ever happened to most of us. You know, I can remember years ago, if you go on a trip, you'd have to buy an atlas or a map or something to find out where you would go. But now you either can get a GPS or you might just have your handy dandy smartphone and have something on there that will help you find where you're going. The problem with these and GPS is that you have to listen to them. You have to act upon what they say. Okay? Now, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but there are some technological developments that are going on that there's some scientists, some people that are trying to develop a driverless car. In other words, you don't have to drive it. You just ride it and it automatically goes. For those of you like me who are recovering control freaks, there is no way that's going to happen, right? Because we like to be in control. And one, you know, sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we want to know, how does the Holy Spirit work with us? What does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit require of us? How does the Holy Spirit work in our lives? And I believe that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us, the Holy Spirit that lives in each of us, it wants to be our personal GPS. It wants to be our guide. It wants to lead us and direct us. The problem is if we have the choice, just as we do with these or a GPS that you might have in your car, you always have the choice not to pay attention to that, right? Not to pay attention to the voice that says, recalculating, you made the wrong turn. You don't have to listen to any of that. But what the scripture today points out to us is that when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, when we're not willing to be guided by the Holy Spirit, it often gets us in trouble. And not only that, one of the things that is written in this scripture is that be careful that you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Be careful that you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul is sometimes difficult to preach on because Paul just kind of says sometimes you do this, you don't do this, you do this, you don't do this, and there's some of that in this passage. I know you heard that. But one of the things he says, beginning of verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And if there's anything that the Holy Spirit wants to guide us to do, one of the reasons we want to listen to the Holy Spirit is because we want to become more righteous and holy. We want to become more like God. We want to follow Jesus, the great example that we had. But then Paul starts saying stuff like, so stop telling lies. Really? Really? But what's interesting about this is listen to why he says we need to stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And you see, sometimes when I think that we don't understand how the Holy Spirit works, it's not only working in me, it's also working in you and every other believer, and we are all parts of one another. So we shouldn't lie to each other. We should tell each other the truth, right? Because we have the Spirit within us. And then there's don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives foothold to the devil. I really like verse 28, if you are a thief, quit stealing. You know, it's interesting that Paul assumes that the people he's writing to aren't perfect just because they're trying to follow Jesus Christ. It's interesting, isn't it? But listen again to Paul's justification. Instead, use your hands for good hard work so that you can give generously to others in need. Right? It's not just this is what you ought to do. You ought to do this because it benefits the other people that also believe, the community of faith. And then verse 29, don't use foul or abusive language again. This is not just a negative, but listen to what he says. So that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And then in verse 30, do not bring sorrow, do not grieve God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Okay? So you got a whole list of don'ts here. But listen to the do, the very last one, the do. Instead, thank you, Karen Schroed, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know, we talked last week about the sure sign of the Holy Spirit being that we had love for each other. That's one of the sure signs that the Holy Spirit is moving among us. But it seems to me like one of the things that Paul is trying to get across here is that you don't need to be grieving the Holy Spirit by how you treat each other. It's important how you treat each other. You know, sometimes we hear people say, well, I have Jesus in my heart. But it seems like Paul says, that's great to have Jesus in your heart, but he should also be on your lips and in your actions, amen. It's not enough just to have Jesus in here if you don't have Jesus out there. If you don't have Jesus out there. And of course, it's interesting that the last verse, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. You know, sometimes I think it is very difficult for us to be kind to one another. And I think that's why Paul wrote when he said, you know, thieves, quit stealing, because you ought to be working and giving to those who are in need. You don't need to lie to each other because you're all parts of the same body. You should tell the truth to each other. All of these things, you see, affect not only us, but also the community of faith. And I think one of the ways that we get in trouble sometimes, and one of the ways that we decline to listen to the Holy Spirit as it's speaking to us, is we say, well, this only affects me. Who cares what I do? But it's very, very clear to me that it's important to all of us in the community how we act and how we treat each other. And it's also important to God. Otherwise, there would be no need for Paul to write, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by your actions. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by your actions. You know, when Hannah and I were in London last year, this Google Maps thing was on my phone. It was a lifesaver every day except one. We were trying to get to one of the main spots in London. We were riding on the subway, and I looked to see where we were supposed to go, and this program would say, you change tubes here, you change the subway here, you go from this line to this line, you get off here, you take 500 steps, walk half a mile, turn right, go down the street, and there you are. And it worked perfect every time but one. We were trying to get to this one place, and we ended up getting off. We go up the steps out on the street, and all of a sudden two bad things happen. The first thing is it's pouring the rain. And I don't know if you ever read your owner's manual for these. They say don't get them wet under any circumstances. Keep your phone dry, right? The other thing was that I expected for us to get out and to see a sign, a direction, a pointer. This is where you need to go. And I kid you not, brothers and sisters, we get off that and there are five different ways you can go. And not only are there five different ways you can go, there are five skyscrapers, you know, in every direction. So all of a sudden, my signal strength goes to zero. So here I am trying not to get my phone wet, while at the same time trying to get a signal from somewhere. And finally, after dodging raindrops and looking around, Hannah and I got back on the tube, only to find out that we got off the tube one exit too early. Okay? So I went back and I looked at the directions and I thought, well, this is crazy, you know? Except that I was the one who decided that we would get off at the exit because I had read it wrong. Makes you want to stomp on this thing. But remember, it was giving me the right directions. I was the one who failed to listen. I was the one who failed to read it correctly. And you know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we want direction from God. We say, well, why isn't God speaking to me? And God may very well be speaking to us, but it's our own behavior, our own actions that grieve the Holy Spirit. My translation says, you know, give sorrow to the Spirit, make the Spirit sorrowful. And we forget that it's important how we treat each other. And that one of the things that the Holy Spirit that lives in you and lives in me wants is peace between us. It wants us to be kind to each other. And sometimes I have, and you have too, we have been with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and kindness is the last thing on the agenda. Amen? Kindness is the bottom. It's so far away from the agenda, we don't even think about that. Being kind to one another, forgiving one another. Paul says, just as God in Christ forgave you. And there's been an interesting turn of events in our culture, and it's been going on for some time, that there's this saying, you know, practice random acts of kindness. Just randomly be kind to people. And I don't know if it's ever happened to you. It's happened to me a few times. I've been in line, typically at Starbucks, to get my coffee, and I get up there. There'll be a couple cars in front of me, a couple cars behind me, and they say, the person in front of you paid for your coffee. And of course, then I'm going, well, wow. Kind of changes the thing. I said, well, I'll pay for their coffee behind us. And of course, you know, I always want to say, as long as there's not 10 people in the, you know, a cargo van back there, right? There's not a 15-passenger van behind me. But it's interesting what small acts of kindness do for our relationships with each other. I was eating dinner, Kim and I were, a couple weeks ago, with a couple who are friends of ours. And it was interesting because my friend said, you know, one of the things that we've noticed among all the couples, and for a minute I thought he was going to talk about Kim and I. I was going, where is this going? But he said, you know, a lot of the married couples that we're friends with, people that we know, they're never kind to each other. They're never polite to each other. As a matter of fact, it's almost like when they converse with each other, it's like not only do they not have a relationship with each other, they like to get barbs in with each other. It's fascinating. There's a guy named John Gottman who is a researcher, a psychologist, who works and has studied marriage for many, many years now. And actually has a place where he can observe couples interact. There's a place where he has where there are, like, you know, two-way mirrors, or one-way mirrors rather, in the common areas of an apartment, and he can watch them interact. Gottman says that he can tell by the amount of positive versus negative comments that couples make to each other. He can predict with 94% accuracy what couples are going to be divorced in the side of a year, based on how they speak to each other. And I thought, good grief, if we can't be kind to the people that we've pledged to love, the people that we've said marriage vows to, how can we be kind to each other? How can we be kind to each other as Christians? So I think, brothers and sisters, we have something important to learn from this. It is important what you do and what you say. It's important. I mean, Paul really gives us a great, great insight into why we need to be paying attention to the Holy Spirit and listening to what the Holy Spirit guides us to do. Because when we can't even be kind to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we can't even have civil conversation with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and then we go out to somebody and go, hey, by the way, Jesus loves you. God loves you unconditionally. And you ought to come and be a part of our church. Even though there's a bunch of jerks there. Right? Right? Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Kindness. Random acts of kindness. What would it be like if you and I took that to heart and we started being kind to each other? Because you see, a lot of us want to be kind to people who are kind to us back, right? You know, I'm always happy to participate in the pay it forward thing when it happens at Starbucks, but I haven't been one to start it. But I'm always happy to participate in it, you know, to do it. But I thought to myself, I never start that. But what would it be like if we were kind? If we were gracious to people? If we extended grace to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to people that we meet, just the way that God has extended grace to us. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, gracious, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So you see, I think we all have the GPS of the Holy Spirit, the MAPS program, if you will, that tries to help us, that wants to speak to us. But God gave us a great gift when he gave us the gift of free will. And we have the free will to say, yes, I'm going to listen. Yes, I'm going to do these things. Or no, I am not. I am not going to pay any attention to you. And it must, I dare say, grieve the Holy Spirit the most when our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we treat each other in ways that we should not. When we have bitterness, when we slander one another, when we are angry with one another, when we won't forgive each other, when we who are sealed by God, who have the Holy Spirit, and Paul says, you know, who've been marked by the Holy Spirit, when we cannot be kind and gracious to each other, no wonder the Holy Spirit would be grieved. So may you and I hear this clarion call from God that it's not enough just to have Jesus in your heart. It's not enough just to come to church. If we are not growing, if we are not listening to that Holy Spirit within us, if we're going to do our own thing and really, really not care about the community of faith, the people around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we are grieving the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, one of the things I think that we can start, and we can start now because I can't tell you how convicted I was to hear my friend say, you know, we've noticed that a lot of the married couples that we're around, they're not even polite to each other. And this man said, you know, one of the things that we have decided to do, his wife and he, they've decided to do this, they're going to be polite to each other and not just when they're having dinner with another couple. But they made a conscious effort to be polite to each other, to be kind to one another. And I wonder what it would look like if we, in the body of faith, started to react in kindness. Mark Twain said that even the blind can see kindness. Even the deaf can hear kindness. Kindness speaks louder than all other things combined. Wow. May we be kind to one another just as God in Christ has been kind to us. And may we, the recipients of the amazing grace and the unconditional love of God, listen to the Holy Spirit within us. Listen to that voice. And treat each other as we should. Amen. Amen.